Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio, 105.7 The Fan.
Jackson, left field, a little flare. It is caught by Gurriel, who then throws it to the backstop. Mullen scores.
Well, see, I don't know what the... I mean, did he catch it or not?
The Diamondbacks seem baffled. Now they're going to throw to second. What in the world happened here?
Well, Gurriel makes a heck of a play. Said did a great job of base running, of tagging up. You know, Tyler got too far off. The bottom line is the run scored before the appeal. But we didn't see a call on the field. That's a little bit of the problem I had. Thought his command, you know, with five walks, obviously early was not there. Settled in a little bit. Kind of went away from him there later in the outing. He's got a low-grade lat strain, so he's going to be shut down for throwing for about a week, and then we're going to kind of reassess from there and hopefully start throwing, kind of back him get back throwing at that point.
Well, that's Brandon Hyde talking about Zach Eflin, who made three quality starts, which is tops in baseball. I mean, everybody's only had three starts, but he's had three quality ones, which is great to see. And was pitching really well on Monday night against Arizona. Low-grade lat strain. I guess it's better than a high-grade or a torn rotator cuff or anything like that. He's going on the IL. Shut him down for a week. I don't know, Vinny. I'm going to go all... Yeah, I'm Bob the Bummer this week for whatever reason.
Middle of May?
Hopefully sooner than that. He'll resume throwing, they hope, in a week.
Mm-hmm.
He'll miss at least four starts, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Now, on top of Grayson Rodriguez out for the foreseeable future, and he's throwing, which is great. And the lat was kind of the thing that ended Grayson 2022 and last year. I guess with him, more concerning is the more of an elbow tricep thingy there. So you're going to proceed with caution. But the last thing, stating the obvious, that the Orioles need was an injury to their best starting pitcher. Because Charlie Morton went last night, you heard Hyde talking about his command or lack thereof as he labored through five innings. Now, as Eflin gave you three quality starts, and Nolan, get in here too, Morton's been the exact opposite.
Yeah.
He actually lowered his ERA last night with four runs in five innings. But with Eflin, hey, I'm DEFCON 1, no. And I believe 5 is like low-grade DEFCON. I'm looking at a 3. I'll go middle because I'm going to stay pessimistic because the injuries have just destroyed this stat. There is no depth any longer. We talked to Matt Weirich yesterday. We'll talk to Jim Hunter later in the show. Looks like Brandon Young could be the obvious choice because he's on the 40-man. He was scheduled to pitch, or he is, Friday for the Tides. Today it's Kramer. Weather permitting Friday, it'll be Sagano, right? And then Povich in the orange out on Saturday. And then that would flip to Eflin, his turn Sunday. He's not making it, obviously. He's going on the IL. But I guess Brandon Young is the dude who kind of popped onto their radar last year. He hasn't been scored upon so far. Limited innings, well, over 13 in 2025. But, hey, look, he could come up, be the next Mike Boddicker for all we know. But losing Eflin, man, that's a kick in the short ones because no one else can be able to – no one gets past the fifth inning. Well, Povich did, but he gave up 13 hits. But, man, this starting rotation that a lot of people had concerns with, now it's worse than it was when they came out of Sarasota, fellas.
You know what's interesting, Bob, about Lats? I mean, you never heard Lat before in baseball. Now Lat, you know, all these guys are getting hurt with Lat. I mean, I wonder if there's anything preventative you can do to develop your, you know, I mean.
So what's it, the upper back? Is that what it is?
The latissimus is right here.
Over your oblique, which was another word we never heard of before.
It's connected to the oblique.
Yeah. It's got to be max effort related. Not that Eflin throws 100 miles an hour.
Maybe I don't the torque they're putting on it. No, I don't know. You know, I mean, just seems kind of weird. There's so many guys, so many pitchers getting lats.
Well, it just stinks because if you lost anyone in this rotation, even if, say, it was Charlie Morton that got injured, you know, he's not pitching well, but from the depth standpoint, you still have to replace him, and they're, you know, handcuffed in that department. Then on top of that, you lose your best starting pitcher, that makes it even worse. I'm with you. It seems like Young could be the guy to take the spot. We'll see how it pans out with his last start in the minors, how that lines up with Sunday. With the off day tomorrow, though, off day again on Monday, could, in the short term, go back to Morton on Sunday because that would still be 4 days rest. Yeah. Again, but if you think Eflin's going to be out, like you said, potentially weeks and weeks and weeks.
Well, I'm just... negative. Yeah.
Well, if he's not allowed to do anything for at least a week, and then you're going to have a slight ramp up from there, probably throw a couple bullpens, see how he's feeling. Let's say he misses two starts. Could you get by without bringing a guy up? Maybe just bring up an extra bullpen arm and go with a bullpen game at some point? Maybe.
But who would those candidates be?
Well, it could still be Young, but with the anticipation that he only goes like four innings or something.
And let's also not forget that Albert Suarez would have been the perfect guy to fill this role.
Mm-hmm. True. Yeah.
And he's out for 2 months. I mean, he's on the 60-day IL. Brandon Hyde said months. I guess two says plural months. But it sounds like they're not encouraged that he'll be throwing anytime soon. So it's a quandary for the Birds right now with that start. And D. Kramer's got to step up today. Yeah. I think we all agree with that.
Oh, no doubt. Man bun.
He's been that guy in the past, though.
Sure.
Seems like any
but
time.
But he starts bad early normally.
But when he's up against it, like his roster spot's in peril or we're ready to throw him out of the door, he'll rise up and go seven strong. And they need him to do that today.
Mm-hmm. Now, Bob, back to Young. Why not with Young? I mean, it's not like you got four dudes that are kicking ass. You know, right now.
But, you know, maybe they feel he might not be ready and they can navigate. I mean, I can't think for Mike Elias or Brandon Hyde. You know, Brandon Young, though, again, a year ago, unless you were a diehard follower of the Orioles minor leagues, you didn't know who he was. And in some cases, nobody knew who he was 24 hours ago. Now he might be a guy that could be pitching on Sunday. But the Eflin news, not catastrophic, but it's bad. And I don't know how you could spin it positively in any way, shape, or form other than to say, well, he might miss a month or 3 weeks.
Well, I mean,
something like
how shocked were you when you heard what I was shocked because we heard Eflin say, I feel pretty good, you know, and
woke up feeling great.
Yeah.
But then the MRI came back and Hyde made the comments after the game.
Yeah.
Because before the game, he's like, I don't know. And they kept, I don't know. I got to wait. And then once he found out the results, the expected announcement was made. So there you go. So Eflin, he's going on the IL. But Dean Kramer today for the Orioles, he's got to give them some length against Brandon Faught, who's off to kind of a shaky start for the D-backs. The Orioles could still win the series. They do lose the game 4-3. We heard in the opening here, it's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Kevin Brown on Masson calling that sequence in the seventh inning where bases are loaded. Holiday hits a fly ball to right, Nolan. Gurriel makes the play. Problem was the umpire didn't rule it out, catch, out, whatever. He did nothing. Luckily, Cedric did tag Cedric Mullins, and then Gurriel airmails it behind the backstop, hit the screen. I mean, it was an errant, Nuke LaLoosh level throw, if you're familiar with Bull Durham. But Tyler O'Neill, I guess not knowing what the umpire. Now, the plays in front of O'Neill, I mean, you look, you're running at the crack of the bat, but it's not a rope down the left field line, so you're watching. So the play's kind of in front of you. And as the replay showed, actually in real time, Nolan, he caught the ball. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, it was a catch. Kind of a clean catch at that. But there was no ruling on the field, so the runners just kind of, one in particular, Tyler O'Neill. And that's why Brandon Hyde challenged it, because there was no call. And then Las Diaz, who had his own problems with, of course, Torrey Lovello. There was a tag at third. O'Neill didn't tag, so he got forced at second. And an inning that looked like it had great potential for crooked numbers came to an abrupt end, and that was kind of all she wrote for the Birds, and in fitting fashion, because this has been a calling card of the Orioles offense this year too. Kerstad grounds into a double play to end the game.
Right. Very confusing. I mean, I thought in real time it was a tough, like, to see where the ball was. And keep in mind, even if you saw it go in his glove, once that turns under as he's sliding, mm-hmm. it could very easily pop out and be behind him, and you have no idea. Replay review, it was obvious. I'm with you on that. Ump's got to make a call. Third base coach got to be a little bit more on top of that, or at least the potential of, if he did catch this, hey, they're kind of, this ball's almost in the stands here. Get back to second just to be safe here. It's just kind of an overall failure. But I would even say earlier in the inning, you know, it stinks that it was a hard liner, great contact, ends up being an out. But Kerstad, a couple at-bats before that, looked like he was going to get a nice single up the middle. Diving catch, almost a double play right there on the broken bat swing by Kerstad. So, I mean, they were inches away from having a monster inning there. Just wasn't to be.
And look, I got no problem blaming umpires, referees, officials. I've made it clear. I mean, yeah, they're human, but, you know, they're paid to be professionals just like the athletes are. Mm-hmm. You know, be a professional, do your job. You know, sometimes everybody makes mistakes. But let's not forget the Orioles went six innings without a hit after the first inning, too. So there was a problem with the offense, and Merrill Kelly settled in, and, you know, that was all she wrote. So we can sit here and make excuses, blame things, and blame people. Double plays are killing the Orioles this year. And they're going to have to find out a better way to advance runners or create big innings, because clutch hits, and we saw it in the opener, was great. Of course, Mountcastle rode the pine, as we talked about going into yesterday. And I understand you gave Tyler O'Neill a lot of dough, and after a great start to the season, he's had some base-running blunders, to say the least. But Orioles got to get it together. I mean, they're still in a decent position standings-wise, but we're not even 3 weeks into the season, because the Yankees lose, the Red Sox lost, the Tampa lost. So everyone else is dealing with their problemos, and every team's dealing with injuries. But the Orioles' rotation problems, I think, are going to be problematic. Now it's on the offense. Now the offense has to start carrying things. And certain players are going to have to start, pun intended, stepping up to the plate.
Yeah, and if I'm Hyder, you're probably a little kind of disgusted. Because, Bob, it's more than just pitching. It's, like you just said, grounding into double plays. It's plays in the outfield. You know, so it's there's leaks everywhere.
They played their best game of the season in the opener.
Yeah,
that was their best all-around game of the year. And then they follow it up with, like, Keystone Cop stuff the next day. And Charlie Morton, I'll give you the Bob Haney seal of approval. We got to get a break. Eplin, of the five-man rotation, not even three times full. Eplin, extremely acceptable. Great. Won't see him for a while. Charlie Morton, unacceptable. Dean Kramer, it all depends on how he goes to get today, but he got a win. Then he struggled with his defense, not doing him any favors, try to pitch in unideal situations. So I'm going to give him a sideways thumb. Sagano, I'm cool with that. Mm-hmm. Thumbs up for him. Hand cramps aside, pitched great on Saturday against Kansas City. And Povich, I'm going to lean towards all right. Too many bats. Not missing a lot of bats.
Yeah, but he got hosed in the first, which cost him like three or four hits.
Yeah, but 13 hits are still 13 hits. You know what I mean? It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll reset the program for you when we come back. It's Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Got a lot to get to. We'll get to it now.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for four lines with all the data you need and four free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's four lines for $25 a line, plus four free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next, you're on the Fan. 105.7 Orioles lose last night 4-3. They were up 2-0. Looked like they're going to puffy pants them, which I was looking forward to because these 940 games suck.
Cool.
But as Nolan said, I believe it was Nolan earlier in the week, at least they're early. But they still have other ones coming up as the season progresses. But get them out of the way. Orioles back home this weekend taking on the Blue Jays. Missed this news. Just waking up. Zach Eplin's going on the IL, so when he returns, nobody knows. Charlie Morton took a 2-0 lead and struggled with it, loaded the bases. Orioles turn a double play themselves to get that thing kind of stabilized. Bottom of the first, then Carroll went deep, and then they score. Naylor with a 2-run double, and Orioles couldn't get the offense rolling. So it's a team that's played one clean game, I guess. Maybe the opener against Toronto when they won 12-2, but they hit six home runs. I still think from inning one, inning two, or inning nine, Monday was their best game of the year. Mm-hmm. Just they were clean. They were efficient. All right, they had Mullins made the boot in center field. I mean, I'm not going to nitpick that much. Bullpen was unscored upon, just like last night, by the way. But when you're rotation, you can only get your five innings deep into the game, and that's kind of the best-case scenario. Sooner or later, these arms are going to run out of juice. And let's see. It's April 9th. Still no save situation in 2025 through 12 games. They got to get it rolling.
I mean, what's crazy, Bob, is like you just said, April 9th and your bullpen, they used the heck out of your bullpen a ton already.
And not in a save situation yet.
Yeah.
So they haven't had it. They lost a close game last night. But again, I'm not pushing. Look, if the Ravens are 5-7 through 12 games, Everyone's percolating. We're running hot. Orioles 5-7 through 12. All right, season's not over. You still, that's 12. You have 150 games left, but the injuries to the starting rotation are real.
And Gunnar's still in spring training mode.
Right. And after a great game on Monday, he was. And he made an error last night, too.
One, yeah.
So, come on. Gunshot. Let's get it together. NFL draft in 15 days. Ravens have the 27th overall pick. They have 11 picks overall. Before we get out to the phones at 410-583-1057. They trading them? Any? Or, I mean, DeCosta said when he met with the media a month or so ago, they like having that volume.
They like having volume. And why do they like having volume? Like we heard Bisciotti say, it's cheap money. You know, it's inexpensive. And they need cheap labor with all the big contracts that they have and contracts that they have coming up. So, I mean, that's kind of a must. You know, so what you have is you kind of have your high-priced guys and then you have your minimum salary guys. And Bob, if things fall right for the Ravens, player-wise, I can see them trading back. You know, if there's guys still available, which there might be, you know, if there's not run on safeties and stuff.
But as you've said many times before, Vinny, they already have one of the most talented rosters in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And the chances of 11 draft picks making the team are probably slim and none. And slims down on Falls Road catching the next bus out of town.
Yeah, I think what they'll do, Bob, is they'll put them on a practice squad and then try to develop them. You know, for next year, because when you pay Lindenbaum and you pay Travis Jones and you pay Hamilton, you know, you're going to have to get rid of more guys. So they need a lot of depth. You know, I mean, who can come in and start for them? Safety, free safety with the first pick. Free safety, probably could. Pass rusher, he'd be in a rotation, you know, but he would play a lot. Corner. Probably not right out the get-go, but probably like Wiggins did last year. So, I mean, those guys could make an impact. A tackle, guard kind of guy, yeah, if he's better than Voorhees, could make a big impact. So, I mean, to me, that's kind of where I don't see them taking an inside linebacker with their first pick because he could make an impact.
It's Vinny at 81057 The Fan. Here's old Nolan over there, ready to rock and roll when we get to him. A draft profile coming up at 10:45. Sticking with wide receiver. We're going out to the University of Texas to start this one off. And the Athletics, Nick Baumgartner. We've been referring to his mock draft. He'll be joining us live and in person via the telephone at 11 o'clock. Orioles lose 4-3. How does that make you feel? Maybe the bigger loss could be Zach Eflin for, I don't know, say an extended period of time, but maybe a couple of starts at least. Let's go to Dave in Mount Airy. Dave, thanks for holding. What's up?
Hey, Bob and Vinny. I was calling to say how unimpressed I am so far with Tyler O'Neill. He makes boneheaded plays in the outfield. He makes boneheaded plays on the base paths. He chases pitches all over the place. And I don't know if you noticed it last night, Bob, but on that ground rule double, that would have taken an amazing play to make a catch on that. But he was just after the baseball. I'll tell you, our big offseason acquisition, I'm unimpressed so far.
So
I want to know what you think.
So you're saying he's a bonehead based on a couple of comments there. Thanks, Dave. And he's talking about Naylor. Well, the ground rule double before Naylor had the two-run double. Roberto Clemente's not making that play. That ball was kind of roped into the gap. Nolan McGraw, I'll defer to your defensive expertise because I'm sure you're a great glove man and whatever level of baseball, softball slash you played. O'Neill, no chance on that ball, right? I don't see it. With all due respect to Dave.
Yeah, probably pressing a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, trying to make something happen in a tight game. But I don't know. The base running stuff, that's its own separate issue. I mean, what makes it tough is offensively he's been fantastic so far. So, I mean, it's a lot of the little things that are he's shooting himself in the foot.
But by and large, most of the Oriole reporters we've had on said that he's an upgrade over Santander. And defensively, he might be. Tony Taters is hitting like .140 right now in Toronto. So I'm sure Toronto fans are like, this guy sucks. You know what I mean? But I don't know yet. And I think Santander had status within that clubhouse, too. especially with the younger players.
And well, you can naturally,
never,
yeah.
You can never discount that sort of impact. And the Orioles, they're scuffling right now. When you're 5-7, you know, no saves. Two of your projected, your top two projected starting pitchers are on the IL. You're in a quandary at this early stage. And it's not even April 10th yet. They don't even play their second homestand of the season. So let's not get all DEFCON 5-y. But can I do something real quick before we go to break? Remember our predictions like 2 weeks ago for baseball?
Mm-hmm.
I picked the Orioles to win the East. They're fourth. I picked the Twins to win the Central. They're fourth. I picked the Mariners to win the West. They're last. And I picked the Braves to win the NL East, and they just won their second game last night. So not off to a great start, the old Bobster, when it comes to prediction. You got a problem with the Orioles? Share your concerns with us at 410-583-1057. It's Brandon. I'm not blaming Brandon Hyde for anything. He had nothing to do with that. They couldn't hit in the clutch. The injuries have become a problem. What I don't know, and Vinny, you could probably talk to it more from a football standpoint. Remember the Ravens had a rash of injuries, and they got rid of the strength and conditioning guy?
Yes, they did.
What the hell's going on in Baltimore? Is that just bad luck when it comes to the arms?
Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio, 105.7 The Fan.
Draft profile number one coming up here in a couple of minutes. Talking to some wide receivers today. Texas. They got a bunch up.
Yep.
I'm going to break down one in a few. Nick Baumgartner from The Athletic. Get his take on what the Ravens need to do. He's done a 5-bazillion-round mock draft. And he'll tell you who the Ravens should pick, what kind of intel he's getting in regards to who they might pick. That's coming up at 11. Whip around left 15. A lot going on in world of sports. Historically and currently. And then Zach Kreiser, from the Bandwagon Newsletter. Talking MLB, get his thoughts on the first couple weeks of the MLB season, which for the Orioles have not been great, and they haven't won two games in a row, right? Am I right on that?
No, you're right.
No saves or anything like that, but let's get out to the phones. People want to vent. Hey, we'll listen. And I mean, I'm going to talk you off ledges if you're ready to go that far, and I'm not firing at general managers or managers just yet, but... It's been a tepid start to the 2025 campaign. Let's go to Ryan in Baltimore. Ryan, what's up?
Hey, gents. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
So I was calling just to talk about the passion of the team right now, because I was watching the Nats game yesterday, and I'll be honest, I don't know half of the Nats starting nine, but besides like James Woods and C.J. Abrams, but you know, I'm watching them hit these infield hits, and each and every single one of them is just hustling down the line 110%. And I remember back in the day when we were going through the rebuild, and I'll be honest, I wasn't a huge Brandon Hyde lover at first, but I remember seeing Cedric Mullins when he first started, really, before he was 30-30, Cedric Mullins. And, you know, he kind of had that passion. I remember he said, you know, we're playing for the team, even though you know, we're not that good, but we're playing for our team. And I feel like I just don't see that passion anymore in a lot of these guys. And we have the talent to do it, but, you know, I feel like a lot of times I see them dogging out an infield hit. You know, we saw a lot of it last year, especially with, like, Santander. Meanwhile, you know, he's not a burner, but I'd like to see some of our guys that we know can run, you know, play with that fire a little bit. So I just want to hear your guys' thoughts on that. You know, I'm not expecting guys like Gunner to do it, especially since he just came off an injury, and even some guys that aren't that fast to do it. But, you know, even just an effort thing.
All right. Thanks for the call. I don't see a lack of effort. Maybe baseball IQ's lacking in some areas, but Gunner busts his hump. Westberg busts his hump. I think Sed's busting his hump because he's having a good year and he's hitting free agency at the end of the season. I mean, Santander, all right, it's a ground ball to second. Maybe he feels as though, unless the guy boots it 15 times, little Manny Machado style, he's not going to beat it out because he's not fleet of foot. And I don't think O'Neill's not hustling. I just don't think he's playing smart in a couple of areas here. So I don't think it's a team-wide, you know, we're lazy, we're feeling ourselves, and the effort's not there. I just don't think they're playing very well right now in most areas.
Like Joe Gibbs used to say, Bob, can't win with dumb guys.
I don't think they're stupid. You're just playing dumb right now. I mean, the track record speaks for itself. They're trying for the fourth straight winning season, and O'Neill's an all-star with gold gloves, hit 31 homers. They're just not playing smart now. It's not a historical brain fart that affects them. They're just not. There's something missing with this team. They got to get a consistent offense, which they haven't gotten. Defense has been shaky at times. And the constant changes, changing of the lineup might have a lot to do with it. I don't know.
I think, you know, confidence is a big thing, you know, because, you know, if all of them have confidence, and I go back, like you just said, Bob, with the lineup. I mean, you don't ever know if you're playing or not, or I guess if it's a lefty, righty, you're assuming
that
you're
playing. Have to be beholden to that.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I agree. Especially, you know, like you had some hits in the game before, and then they put you on a bench. I'm like, come on, man. I'm hot.
Yeah, I mean, Mountie just had one of the best. I mean, he had the big hit. He only had one, but his swings were great. And I don't know. They don't ask us to make the line out for the Orioles, but they don't seem like the team they were. And I'm not saying they're not hustling or they're dumb in June of 24. Something has changed about this team where they were energetic. I mean, you could kind of just watch it on TV. You could feel the enthusiasm. Even their half-assed little double thing where the fishing line, there's something missing.
I would tend to agree with you on that, Bob, because I was just thinking about that same thing. Like, I can visualize Gunner getting a double and being and whatever they whatever signals they were doing and everything else.
Yeah. Well, five-game winning streak will probably change all that.
Oh, yeah. Do they have the home run chain? They got to hit a home run first.
Yeah, and I haven't seen a home run. Have you noticed one? O'Hearn hit the first one in like a week.
The home run chain? That hasn't been a thing for 3 years.
What's something?
Yeah, because there's no longer the hose or the thing, the canteen, whatever it was. The hydration station.
I got you.
Yeah, what's their little celebration this year?
Maybe still in the works.
Yeah. How about just go back to the chain? You can sell those.
Yeah.
Look like kind of an a-hole walking around with like a beer bong in the stadium. Well, you know what I mean?
The team probably wants them to do as much water stuff as possible after they expanded the Mr. Splash Zone.
Well, how about this? Hit some home runs, and then we'll figure it out later. We'll come back. Draft profile number one of the day. Stick around for that. And then Nick Baumgardner from The Athletic. Talk about his mock draft. The latest one came out on The Athletic. What does he think the Ravens should do, will do at 27 and beyond?
Vinny Serrato's Draft Profiles. News, notes, and analysis on the 2025 NFL Draft Class. Vinny and Haney. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Third and 13 as they get it out into space to Bond. And look at Isaiah Bond! What a difference maker he is!
ESPN feeling the difference. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Nolan McGraw. Draft profile number one on this Woman Crush Wednesday, 15 days from the first round of the NFL draft in Green Bay. Let's go to Texas. Isaiah Bond,
University of Texas, 5'11", 180, ran 4.39 at the combine, ran 4.34 at the Texas Pro Day, 1.5, 1.10. He's a junior, wide receiver, jersey number 7. Now, he takes number 7. Because he's infatuated with James Bond. That's why 007.
And, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Shake and not stir.
So 30.5-inch arms, 8.5-inch hands, little small hands. Now, 2022, he was at Alabama. 22, he committed to Alabama, went to Alabama, played in all 13 games, had one start, 17 catches for 220 yards, 12.9 average, one touchdown, one punt return for 34 yards. 23 at Alabama, played in all 14 games, 11 starts, 48 catches for 668, 13.9 average, 4 touchdowns. In 24, went to Texas. Now, Sark, he would have been at, would he have been at Alabama 22, Bob, as the coordinator? And then he went to Texas?
I think he's been there kind of that time frame.
So in 24, he went to Texas. Played in 14 games with 12 starts, had 34 catches for 540 yards, 15.9 average, 5 touchdowns, 4 rushes, 98 yards. He suffered a high ankle sprain in the SEC championship game versus Georgia. Now his strikes, he's fast as hell. Now he can make people miss, speed shows, gets the ball upfield, good adjust, good on reverses, shows good change of speed, running with the ball, good acceleration. He'll catch in traffic, excellent yak, tough kid. He can track a deep ball, good on crossing routes, good run vision. He can break some tackles. He can outrun angles. Good body control. Will be an excellent route runner. He has good line awareness. He's aware in zone. Shows some nasty with the ball in his hands. Very good change of direction. Crafty route runner with speed and body control. He can line up in the slot or outside. Now, weakness, hand size 8.5 inches. Body frame. He's 180 pounds. He is slight. Now, watching the stuff at Alabama, he bought it body caught more at Alabama. Now, when he was at Texas, I didn't see the body catching that he did when he was at Alabama. He'll need to add some bulk. Georgia corners, you know, kind of hammered him a little bit. They got their hands on him in press. Now, in summary, I think this kid just tapping his potential. He can be a great route runner because he's got such good body balance and body control. And his speed and acceleration is off the charts. He plays so fast that, and he's a little small. He's going to have to learn how to avoid press and bigger corners. But the kid's got amazing speed. He's got running ability after the catch. I liked it. Watching film, I really liked this kid. And I think he's going to show up. But he needs to get bigger, and he needs to be able to handle the press against a bigger, stronger corners. That's going to be the thing, whether you got to motion him or he's got to learn how to get hands off people and get their hands off of him when they're lined up to press. But with the ball in his hands and stuff, Bob, on a deep ball, he can go get it. Now, I mean, he can. Texas has got a 4-3-4 and a 4-2-9 at wide receiver, you know, so with Golden and Bond. I mean, they got flyers there and you know, I mean, they throw the deep ball a lot, and it shows up with him.
Now, Mel Kiper Jr., however, Baltimore's own ESPN.com, does not have Isaiah Bond among his top 10 wide receivers on his most recent positional ranking here. So what, if anything, does that mean? His teammates in it.
Oh, yeah. Golden keeps going up the charts.
And the guy we're talking about later is in it as well.
Yeah, I just think that with Bond, I think that receiver coaches and stuff, Bob, I think they're going to like him just because he's so fast and he's so explosive and he can do things. And he can play on special teams in the return game for you. You know, why people don't – I don't – maybe because of, you know, his narrow frame right now. But he can fly.
Nick Baumgartner, who we're going to have on the program when we come back from the top of the hour with The Athletic, has Bond going to the Saints in the third round with the 93rd overall pick.
Yeah.
Would that be a steal for New Orleans?
I think so. I think the kid's better than that. I mean, if you want that type of receiver, an X receiver, a slot receiver that has tremendous speed, you know, and he's smart and he can find holes in zone and stuff. I think he'll go before that.
Basketball real quick. Maryland got another transfer. Buzz Williams getting into the portal, going back to Texas A&M. We'll tell you who that is when we come back. But we got the draft stuff. 15 days away. Nick Baumgartner. We ever had him on before, at least when I was here in Nolan, from The Athletic. Looks like he took Dane Brugler's place. Could be wrong. I haven't seen Dane Brugler because he used to do that big old draft thingy over there. But Nick will be joining us. Whip around lamp 15. Talk to Zach Kreiser from the Benchwarmer newsletter. Talk some Major League Baseball. A lot of teams off to slow starts. What is any of this? Hey, the Dodgers. Everybody thought they were going to go undefeated, and the Nats been pulling that pants down and spanking that ass this week.